From WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Terry Gross with Fresh Air. On this Thanksgiving edition of Fresh Air, we feature highlights of the three concerts we've presented since September 11th. We'll hear Loudon Wainwright perform his new song about New York after the attacks, as well as some songs from his new CD. Nick Lowe will play a couple of songs from his new CD, as well as his old favorite, What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding. And Dan Zanes, the former lead singer of the indie band The Del Fuegos, will do a couple of songs that he's playing at concerts for children that have gone over particularly well since September 11th. Three concerts coming up on this Thanksgiving edition of Fresh Air. First, the news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Mac Lee. There are conflicting reports concerning the outcome of talks between the Northern Alliance and the Taliban over the surrender of the city of Kunduz, the Taliban's last stronghold in the north. The Northern Alliance says it will now advance on Kunduz and take it by force. The alliance launched an assault on the city earlier today. NPR's Steve Inskeep is in Talakan, not far from Kunduz. He says it appears the Taliban leadership could not agree to terms of the proposed surrender.
There definitely were negotiations. The senior religious leader of Kunduz left the city in order to negotiate with General Rashid Dostum, a senior Northern Alliance commander. He attempted to negotiate the surrender of Kunduz, but for reasons that remain somewhat unclear, he was unable to reach a final agreement that was acceptable to everyone inside the city of Kunduz. And so, although some native Afghans, some local Taliban leaders, in fact, did surrender their troops today, others have continued resisting, particularly the so-called foreign Taliban, non-Afghans who were stuck in that city. And toward the end of the day, there was some serious exchanges of fire between Taliban troops, Northern Alliance troops, and also U.S. warplanes, which conducted some relatively heavy bombing toward the end of the day.
NPR's Steve Inskeep in Talakan, Afghanistan. Federal investigators searched the home of a Connecticut woman today who was the fifth person in the nation to die of inhalation anthrax. They sifted through trash, mail, and other items trying to learn how the 94-year-old woman was exposed to anthrax spores. Ottilie Lundgren stopped driving years ago and rarely left her home without help from friends or neighbors. Investigators are also awaiting results from tests conducted at postal facilities near her home. Palestinian security officials say five Palestinian children were killed on their way to school when one of them kicked an unexploded Israeli tank shell. Israel said it is investigating the incident. NPR's Linda Gradstein reports from Jerusalem.
The five dead boys, ranging in age from 7 to 14, were all members of the same extended family and included two sets of brothers. Palestinian witnesses said they were walking to school in the Khan Yunis refugee camp in the southern Gaza Strip when one of the boys came across the unexploded shell. It blew up when he kicked it. An Israeli government spokesman expressed regret for the deaths but said the circumstances were unclear. Also today, three armed Palestinians in a jeep crashed through the gate of an Israeli factory in the West Bank. They opened fire, injuring two workers before escaping. Earlier today, Israeli troops raided a Palestinian suburb of Jerusalem and shut down three offices belonging to different Palestinian security services. Israel said the move was meant to stop terrorist activity. Linda Gradstein, NPR News, Jerusalem.
Volunteers shared Thanksgiving with the workers at Ground Zero in New York today. They took turkey dinners to recovery crews who are continuing their around-the-clock work through the holidays. Mayor Rudolph Giuliani was serving the meals. This is NPR. The president of the American Postal Workers Union says he will recommend his members refuse to work in buildings where traces of anthrax spores remain. Bill Burris leads the 360,000-member union and says there is still too much uncertainty about the safety of his workers. He says experts differ on how many anthrax spores can cause infection, so he's telling his members not to work in contaminated facilities. The price of oil on the global market jumped today. Independent producers are moving toward meeting demands by OPEC to cut production. NPR's Chad Pergram reports.
Norway's oil minister said it would slice production by 100 to 200,000 barrels a day by the first of the year. Russia has also agreed to trim production. Deputy Prime Minister Viktor Kryshtenko says Russia needs to help find what he described as a stable and fair level for oil prices in the new year. Kryshtenko said a fair price for oil would range between $20 to $25 a barrel. OPEC is shooting for a target of $22 to $28 a barrel. OPEC said it would only cut production by 1.5 million barrels a day if non-OPEC members like Russia, Norway, Mexico, and Oman together delivered daily reductions of 0.5 million barrels. Chad Pergram, NPR News, Washington.
French researchers say mad cow disease in Britain may have peaked, and the number of deaths is expected to decline in the coming years. 110 people in Britain have been diagnosed with mad cow disease, which is thought to be caused by eating meat from infected cattle. The French study's findings appear tomorrow in the journal Science. A 16-year-old Latvian girl who struck Prince Charles with a flower to protest Britain's role in the war against terrorism has sent him a note saying she is sorry. The teenager has been charged with threatening the life of a foreign dignitary and could face up to 15 years in prison. I'm Mac Lee, National Public Radio News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Archer Daniels Midland Company, maker of natural vitamin E, ADM, the nature of what's to come, on the web at admworld.com.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. On this Thanksgiving, we're featuring highlights of the three concerts we've presented since September 11th. We start with British singer and songwriter Nick Lowe. He has a new CD called The Convincer. Lowe got his start in the mid-70s in the pub rock era. He was a member of the bands Brinsley Schwartz and Rockpile, and he produced some of Elvis Costello's early work. Lowe's best-known songs include Cruel to Be Kind and What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding. A few years ago, Johnny Cash recorded Lowe's song The Beast in Me. The song was used at the end of the pilot of The Sopranos. Nick Lowe came to our studio in late September. His throat was a little scratchy from his performances, but he still sounded great. Nick Lowe, I want to welcome you back to Fresh Air. You know, after September 11th, it took me a couple of weeks to get back to listening to some music, in part because I'd been so tuned in to all the news and on radio and TV. Then the first thing I popped in the CD player after this long break from listening was your CD, and boy, you sounded good.
Oh, well, that's wonderful.
So I'm really glad to share your voice with our listeners now. Why don't we start with a song from the new CD, and this is called Between Darkness and Dawn, and I think it's in its own way, it really speaks to the moment.
Okay, here we go.
When you feel you're all in and you've decided you can't win, tell yourself it won't be for long. You're between dark and dawn. You've got too much time you can't kill. Your wheels are spinning but you're standing still. It's all flat and forlorn in between dark and dawn. You're so blue you can't see. One day all this will be history. Now I've been a fool, but I'm not wrong. You're between dark and dawn. You're between dark and dawn. Between dark and dawn, that's where nothing's always going on. You'll be on form before too long, but right now you're between dark and dawn. Between dark and dawn, you're between dark and dawn. Between dark and dawn, you're between dark and dawn.
That's Nick Lowe performing in our studio. That song is also on his new CD, The Convincer. I've been thinking about one of your songs lately, What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding, which is a song that Elvis Costello also recorded.
Mm.
It's a song with an interesting history because it seems to drift back and forth between irony and realness, irony and sincerity or something. Do you want to talk a little bit about the history of the song and the different meanings it's taken on over the years?
Yes, it's a really funny one, that song, because I always think of it as being the first truly original idea I had. Was that I couldn't believe my luck when I thought up that title. because this is about 1973, I would think, that I thought it up. And I can remember being sort of giving myself a talking to and saying, well, now, look, this is a really good little thing, this. Don't be too clever with this and make it too comical. Try and make the verse a bit opaque and let the title do the talking, because the title is it. And it's quite a nice little tune. But it's one of those songs which, sadly, it never becomes redundant. You know, you'd think that by now no one would have to sing this damn thing anymore. But they do. I really hope the day comes when it's forgotten. Really.
Well, I think it's going to have to be sung one more time. Do you want to do a bit of it
for us? Sure,
yes,
certainly.
As I walk this wicked world, searching for light in the darkness of insanity, oh yeah, I ask myself, is all hope gone? Is there only pain, hatred, and misery? Oh yes, and each time I feel like this inside, there's one thing I want to know. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Ooh, what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? And as I walk on through troubled times, my spirit gets so downhearted sometimes. Sometimes, where are the strong? And who are the trusting? And where is the heart? Sweet harmony, 'cause each time I feel it slipping away, it just makes me wanna cry. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Understanding, brother. Understanding, sister. Understanding.
That's Nick Lowe performing in our studio. I was reading a review of your new CD by a reviewer who really liked it a lot and was praising you for being in your early 50s and coming up with songs that suit your age, as opposed to writing teenage kind of songs or just kind of writing beyond your period of talent.
You know? Oh, well.
Anyways, do you feel like your songwriting has changed? Over the years, do you feel like you're writing a different kind of song now, either lyrically or melodically?
Yes, I think so. Yes, I had this brief career as a pop star in the 70s, and while it was going on, I knew that it was going to be over one day, and I didn't have that that sort of share. Elton John kind of thing, you know, that whether they managed to have that their careers just stride on through the decades. You know, I knew I didn't have that.
It's because you don't have the right clothes.
Yes, well, I think Elton would be kind of cross if he heard you say that. but anyway, I told myself that I had to figure out a way when my little time, you know, being quoted and being in the papers and things was over, that I have to figure out a way of recording and writing for myself so that I could use the fact I was getting older as an asset as opposed to it being a handicap. It's only really in pop music that it is. It's not in jazz. You know, you can't be too old in jazz to, or blues, or even in country and western, although that's debatable now because some of the great country and western artists aren't played on country radio now, as we know. Merle Haggard and Johnny Cash are two that could spring to mind. But in pop music, you're clapped out and on the scrap heap by 30. So I thought, well, no, I'm going to figure out a way I can record and myself so I can use it. So people will actually rather envy me for being in my 50s.
Oh, lucky
saying,
guy.
Ooh, hurry up. Wait, can I wait till I get to be 50, you know? So I did start working on it, on my songs, to reflect. It feels easy to do it. You don't feel foolish doing it. Mutton dressed up as lamb and banging on about something that you don't really feel like anymore. It's a kind of a wretched sight to see old pop singers, you know, trying to regain, capture their youth, or having their audience relive their youth through them.
Could you, like, articulate what you think the difference is between, say, a teenage love song that wouldn't quite work for you now and the kind of ballad that you might write now?
Well, a teenage love song might work for me now, but I don't think me kind of boasting about my conquests on the road, you know, really would fly. So, but some of these sorts of songs that I wrote back then were quite popular with my audience, and they sometimes ask me to do them now. And I just can't do them. I just don't feel like that, and I don't have to do it. I don't think I have to do it, so I don't.
Why don't you play a song that I think does illustrate the kind of love song you're writing now? It's called Let's Stay In and Make Love.
Okay.
I don't really care about tonight's affair. We don't have to go. The same crowd will be there like they've been before at the last three in a row. Now you're waiting in the hall and I'm on the stair looking at you from above, and I say, darling, just for a change, let's stay in and make love. Please don't get me wrong, I love to party long with my special girl, but there's some things in life more important than a busy social world. You say softly, darling, you're quiet tonight, and you're right, 'cause what I'm thinking of is take off your dress, let's stay in and make love. Let's take a break, precious moments to steal. Let's forget the chattering crowd and get down to what's really real. Something that'll groove darling, let's stay in. Slip off those things and love me now. There's a feeling of love in here, and it's you, sweet, embraceable you. Just for a change, let's stay in.
Nick Lowe, thanks so much for being here and for performing some songs for us. It's really been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
Nick Lowe recorded in late September. He has a new CD called The Convincer. Coming up, Dan Zanes performs a couple of the songs that have been going over well at his concerts for children since September 11th. This is Fresh Air. Dan Zanes has been entertaining children who are confused about the scary things happening in the world now. Zanes is the former lead singer of the indie roots rock band The Del Fuegos. But since 1998, he's been performing and recording for children. As Robert Sullivan wrote in the New York Times Magazine, Zanes' music works because it's not kids' music, it's just music. Music that's unsanitized, unpasteurized. Zane refers to it as raggedy folk music. Zanes has a new CD called Family Dance. In October, we asked him to bring his guitar and perform a couple of the songs that have been sounding best to him since September 11th. Dan Zanes, welcome to Fresh Air. I'd like you to start with a song that you've been playing for children that you think they find reassuring, because I think we could all use a little of that right now.
I agree. Well, this is one my daughter started asking for a couple years ago, and it's been around for over 80 years, I think, and it seems to be having a whole new life, and I'm glad to be out there playing. It's called Keep on the Sunny Side, made popular by the family band, the Carter Family. There's a dark and a troubled side of life. There's a bright and a sunny side, too. When we meet with the darkness and strife, sunny side we also may view. So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day, it will brighten all the way, if we keep on the sunny side of life. Well, the storm in its fury broke today, crushing hopes that we cherish so dear. Storm and clouds will in time pass away. Sun again will shine so bright and clear. So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day, it will brighten all the way, if we keep on the sunny side of life.
That's Dan Zanes. Thank you for playing that. What's it been like to perform for children in the new age of terrorism?
Well, it's been great. I've never felt it as useful, and I lost my footing and didn't quite know what to do. But certainly the instinct for everybody that I know was to try and find some way to be useful. We had a lot of shows that were booked, and I was ready to cancel them if it seemed like the time to step back. But I started getting calls and emails from people saying that they knew there was a show coming up, and was I going to be doing it? They hoped it was still on, and people
were coming out in much larger numbers than we had had before, and I think everybody was glad to have an hour or two with their kids. You know, this is real young kids that are coming to a lot of these shows, and with the rest of their families. And I think everybody was grateful for an hour or two that just felt like a normal afternoon. And I was certainly very, very glad and kind of honored and humbled to be able to go out and do that.
Are the kids who come to hear you now, do they seem kind of flipped out? Do they seem worried and scared?
It's hard to tell where kids' minds are at with it on any given day. And, you know, sometimes things come out in funny ways. But I think when they come to the shows, I think everybody's really coming out to sort of throw themselves into it. I mean, I know for me, one of the gauges is how are people singing along. And people are singing along with gusto. It's something. And that to me feels... It's on all levels, but people are coming together in a very communal way, and this is just another piece of the puzzle. And kids I think are grateful for that too.
Would you do one of the New York songs you've been performing in your concerts?
Absolutely. Here's Sidewalks of New York. East side, west side, all around the town. Tots played ring around Rosie. London Bridge is falling down. Boys and girls together. Me and Mamie O'Rourke tripped light fantastic on the sidewalks of New York. Down in front of Casey's old gray wooden stoop, boys and girls together, we formed a merry group. On those summer evenings, all we would sing and waltz while Jackie played the organ on the sidewalks of New York. East side.
Dan Zanes recorded in October. He has a new CD of music for children called Family Dance. His first children's CD is called Rocket Ship Beach. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.
Major funding for Fresh Air is provided by this and other NPR member stations, and by Barnes & Noble Booksellers and the Discover Great New Writers Program, which features the literary voices of tomorrow today. Information available at Barnes & Noble stores and on the web at www.bn.com. From the National Endowment for the Arts and Bantam Books, a division of Random House, publishers of Stephen Hawking's The Universe in a Nutshell, the sequel to A Brief History of Time. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Coming up, we continue our Thanksgiving concert edition with Loudon Wainwright. He'll perform songs from his new CD, as well as a new song about New York after September 11th.
Thank you.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. On this Thanksgiving edition, we're featuring highlights of the concerts we've presented since September 11th. In October, we invited Loudon Wainwright to perform some songs from his new CD, Last Man on Earth, and to play the song that he wrote about New York after the attacks. Our rock critic Ken Tucker has described Wainwright as writing scabrous, ruthlessly honest, funny because it hurts songs about marriage, philandering, divorce, parenthood, drunkenness, and death. Wainwright is now co-starring as the father on the new Fox sitcom Undeclared. Loudon Wainwright, welcome back to Fresh Air.
It's nice to be here.
Now, I know you wrote a new song after the attack on the World Trade Center, so I'd love for you to sing it for us. But before you do, tell us about writing the song and what you were thinking of when you wrote it.
People were asking me if I thought I was going to write a song about it, and my answer was no, because it struck me that it was so immense that it would be ridiculous to even try. So I was surprised when, after that disclaimer, to get an idea and then to actually write the song, which is pretty much just a description of a subway journey underneath the Trade Center.
And is it a subway journey you took on a particular day?
Yeah, I took it a few days after the 11th. But I live in Brooklyn Heights, which is just across the East River from Lower Manhattan. So it's a subway. It's my journey into town that I take pretty much all the time.
Would you play the song for us?
Sure. So I started out on High Street. Had to travel into town like some Morpheus descending through a turnstile underground from Brooklyn Heights into Manhattan, which was where I had to be. Now you have to take the A train, since there's no service on the C. And when you are underwater, sometimes the mind plays tricks, and there beneath the East River, it felt like the river Styx. The first stop was Broadway, Nassau. A few more passengers got in. We all sat, no one was standing. There somewhere we'd never been. They say heaven's high above us, and hell is far below. But in that subway tunnel, there was no sure way to know. Chambers Street, a closed ghost station. Passing through, we seem to glide like prisoners inside compartments on some house of horrors ride. The walls were tiled, I hadn't noticed. They seemed so antiseptic, clean. But we knew what we were under. The lights were on, that seemed obscene, and And there I saw the three initials W.T. and then C. I survived somehow, was living, but somewhere I shouldn't be. At the next stop, the doors opened, and I emerged up above ground. I was in another country. Elysian Fields, no Chinatown. They say heaven's high above us, and hell's not far below. But standing on Canal Street, there was no sure way to know. Standing on Canal Street, there was no sure way to go.
Well, that's a great song. I'm really glad you wrote it. I'm wondering if some of your old songs are feeling almost irrelevant now, if people are just so fixated on the fears and anxieties of the moment that no other fears and anxieties expressed through art or song are quite measuring up, if you know what I mean.
Well, actually, I've been doing a lot of shows since the 11th, and I'm finding that audiences are really happy to be in a show and to be at my show. I mean, I certainly don't start the set with that song, the World Trade Center song. I mean, I finish with it, but the audiences seem to be happy to come out and listen to the songs.
My guest is Loudon Wainwright. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is singer, songwriter, and guitarist Loudon Wainwright. I want to talk with you about your new CD, Last Man on Earth. Most of the songs on here were written after your mother's death, and her death really hangs over the CD. A lot of the songs are about your reaction to that, and also I think your reaction to the breakup of a relationship that ended around the same time that your mother died. People often expect that you'll be prepared for the death of an older parent when you're an adult, but that's not necessarily the case. This really hit you hard.
Yeah, I knew. I knew that when my mother, if and when my mother died, it was going to be bad. But I had no idea that it was going to be that it was going to hit me as hard as it did, and I kind of shut down. I was still living in England then, and but this relationship that you mentioned was also ending, but I just kind of came back to New York up in Westchester where I grew up and wound up living in the actual cottage that she had lived in for the last couple of years of her life, surrounded by all the relics of, my life, a lot of them anyway, for the furniture and the plates and the pots and the pans. And I was there for about 18 months. At first I didn't write any songs. It wasn't writer's block as much as just kind of a general depression about what had happened. But when I started to feel better, I started to write again. And what I wrote, and it was a big, big thing. And I wrote a lot of songs about it, which are on this record.
You know, you said you were surrounded by the relics of your childhood when you moved into your mother's house. What were some of the objects that had the most, like, flashback power for you?
Oh, well, I mean, there's this plate, you know, a set. It was a set of plates. There's probably three left, and maybe now they're all gone since I've moved out. But just the you know, a plate that had a, I don't know what they call it, a print or a design on it that just, it's, you know, I ate hamburgers off of that plate in 1963, you know. I mean, just very powerful. And, you know, the lamps and the furniture, the couch, you know, which I was sitting on or napping on or slouching in. And my father's desk was in this cottage, so that was interesting to go sit at that. So in a way, I could visit with both of them or something. I don't know. It was eventually it got to be too much, and I moved out.
I'm going to ask you to do a song from this new CD called I'm Not Gonna Cry.
Yeah.
What's the story behind this song?
Well, actually, I mentioned the fact that I kind of shut down. I wasn't writing, and this was the first song that I wrote. You know, and I used to have a terrible time crying when I was in my 30s and even my 40s, but that's changed now. And at that time, you know, I was crying a lot, which again was totally appropriate, but it wasn't feeling great. I was getting sick of it, so I guess that was the beginning of this song. Normally I play this on the banjo, which is folk music's happy instrument, as we all know, but this is on the guitar. I'm not gonna cry today, I won't shed a tear. Even if some milk is spilt, I won't dilute my beer. I won't use a tissue and my pillow will stay dry. I won't need a shoulder, cause I'm not gonna cry. I'm not gonna snivel and I'm not gonna sob. Both my eyes will remain dry and I won't have to daub them. Move me with a tragedy, just go ahead and try. Play me a tearjerker, but I'm not gonna cry. I'm not gonna weep today, I will not wet my cheek. I'll count to 10 and I'll hold it in, I'm not gonna leak. I'm not gonna lose it, though I may wanna die. They say it's good to let it out, but I'm not gonna cry. I'm not gonna blub today, and I'm not gonna bawl. I'm not gonna fall apart, even if you call me. I couldn't cry for 40 years, I was too tough a guy. Now I can do it anytime, but I'm not gonna cry. I must have cried a million tears, at least 96. I cried me a river and an ocean just for kicks. Listen to the thunder, dark clouds fill the sky. Well, it looks like rain and I hear a train, but I'm not gonna cry. Yeah, well, it looks like rain and I hear a train, but I'm not gonna cry.
That's Loudon Wainwright performing a song that's also on his new CD called Last Man on Earth. A lot of the songs on your new CD are very personal and really pretty sad. Are those songs any harder to perform in concert than your songs that are social satires?
No, they're not hard to perform. I mean, they're... I mean, it's a show, so I execute. I just do that. I perform them. I mean, I can get caught up in the emotion of the song sometimes, but that's a comfortable thing for me because I'm a performer, and I write my songs mostly to be performed. So it doesn't feel like any kind of an invasion, even when I get caught up in the emotion of the song. I mean, an invasion of privacy. And if I sense that the audience is being affected by the song, that's That's a gratifying feeling, I suppose.
I'm going to ask you to do another song from your new CD, Last Man on Earth. And this is called Homeless. The song is about your mother. Would you say something about the song?
I knew that I was going to feel bad when my mother died. I didn't know how bad. She was kind of my biggest fan. And I actually mentioned in the second verse of this song, I have a memory of singing this old folk song called Roz and the Bow for my mother and my Aunt Mary, who was her twin sister. And this would have been when I was about 7. And I was a smash hit. I mean, it was in Aunt Mary's kitchen, and they loved it, and they clapped, and, oh, Loudy, you're so great. And I mean, it was really the reason I got into show business, in a sense. that's all it took. And from then on, I knew that I wanted to be, some kind of a performer. It was that powerful an experience. And I suppose this song relates to just the process of trying to feel better when you're feeling bad. When you were alive, I was never alone. Somewhere in the world, there was something called home. And as long as you lived, I would be all right. There were reasons to win and incentives to fight. Now I'm smoking again. I thought all that was through, and I don't wanna live. But what else can I do? And I feel like I've faked all that I ever did. And I've grown a gray beard, but I cry like a kid. I was 7 when I sang you Roz in the Bow, there in Aunt Mary's kitchen, and I don't guess I know that it's why I've done this for all of this time. But now playing and singing seems a game or a crime. People have called to find out if I'm fine. I assure them I am, but I'm not. It's a line. They say in the end your good friends pull you through. But everyone knows my best friend was you. Hey, I've gotten some help. I guess I was afraid. You suppose something will happen when someone is paid. But I am getting better. Once again, I'll be strong. After all, listen, I'm singing this song. When you were alive, I was never alone. Somewhere in the world, there was something called home.
Now I feel like I'm homeless, but I will be all right. I'll get through the days, I'll face down the night.
That's Loudon Wainwright performing a song that's also on his new CD called Last Man on Earth. That's just a wonderful, really expressive song that I think will be making many of us sad as we listen to it. I think it's so amazing, Loudon, that you at once can write songs that are really kind of cynical and funny and sarcastic. Then you can turn around and write something that's so really like emotionally naked and moving. I don't know of many people who can do both of those.
I guess that's a good thing. I mean, when I'm doing a show, you know, I'm performing for 75 minutes. It's useful, I suppose, to be able to do both of those things. You know, you can be having some real fun with the audience and singing along and singing about a dead skunk or whatever. And then all of a sudden you can slip one of these other songs in, and it's a kind of an effective way to engage the group.
My guest is Loudon Wainwright. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is singer, songwriter, and guitarist Loudon Wainwright. His new CD is called Last Man on Earth. The songs you've been doing for us, songs which I've requested, have been particularly sad or about, you know, fear or anxiety or the attack on the World Trade Center. So I think I'll ask you to do a song that's more upbeat.
Sure thing. There'll be lots of drinking in heaven, smoking and eating and sex. What you didn't do in this life bad for you will be totally cool in the next. In heaven there'll be beer for breakfast, at lunch it's tequila and wine. And the soup served with dinner is made with paint thinner, and the morning hereafter feels fine. Oh, good behavior will get you to heaven. It's Beulah Land, that's where you're bound. But nobody makes nice up there in paradise. When you get up there, then you get down. And the angels have ashtrays in heaven. St. Peter puffs on a cigar. That's right, smoking's allowed. It's what makes all those clouds, and you don't have to sit at the bar. It's a guitar solo. I am in the AFM. That's the American Federation of Musicians. Local 802 here in New York. And they eat all day long up in heaven, and nobody ever gets fat. No, not one calorie, and the ice cream is free. It comes in a pint, quart, or a vat.
And it's just one big orgy in heaven, and nobody ever says no. And it's front, sideways, back, and you start to lose track, but you don't lose your get up and go. Whoa, there'll be lots of drinking in heaven, smoking and eating and sex. What you didn't do in this life, bad for you, will be totally cool in the next. In heaven there'll be beer for breakfast, at lunch it's sambuca and wine. The gazpacho with dinner is made with paint thinner, and the morning hereafter feels fine.
That's great. That's Loudon Wainwright. Loudon, thank you so much for performing. You're really terrific. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
Loudon Wainwright recorded in October. His new CD is called Last Man on Earth. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Naomi Person, Monique Nazareth, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Megan Howe, Patty Leswing, and Jessica Chu. I'm Terry Gross. All of us on Fresh Air wish you a good Thanksgiving.
Support for Fresh Air comes from the listeners of WHYY in Philadelphia, where Fresh Air is produced, and from Wilmington Trust, a wealth management company providing investment and trust services to individuals, families, and corporations nationwide for nearly 100 years. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
On the next Fresh Air, Jonathan Franzen talks about his best-selling novel, The Corrections. Last week, it won a National Book Award. Also, David Levitt talks about his novel Martin Bauman, or A Sure Thing, which is set in the publishing world. It's just come out in paperback. I'm Terry Gross. Join us for the next Fresh Air.